All right, this post on Financial Samurai is about understanding the only scenarios where repeated failure is an option. Failure is something that I'm pretty fascinated with because I've failed a lot in my life, and it always hurts, but it always kind of provides some kind of educational, teachable moment that helps me in something new. And failure is also really part of the Silicon Valley, San Francisco entrepreneurial culture. The more you fail, you know, the better it is, because that means that you're trying, at least. You're not just doing the same old thing that everybody else is doing. So I was pretty excited when there was this new TED Radio Hour episode called Failure is an Option. I think it's one of the latest episodes in September 2017. And my hope was to learn about new perspectives on how we can fail more often and be okay with failure. I've written in the past about all my failures in a post called Perpetual Failure is Why I Save So Much. Because if you have savings, hey, you have a better safety net. So I was listening to this episode by Guy Raz, the host, and he featured a man named Astro Teller, and he is the head of Google's X division. He calls himself the captain of moonshots to remind himself and his team to always think big. And the X division is basically a highly secretive division of mad scientists, you would call them, within Google Alphabet now, that tries to come up with revolutionary devices and applications. They are the 1% within the 1% of people who get jobs at Google. So Astro Teller, he's a smart guy. He's got a BS and a master's in computer science from Stanford. He's got a PhD in computer science from Carnegie Mellon. And on the podcast, he was basically saying how he proudly gives employees bonuses for presenting their failures on stage. And each failure got successively bigger, and every single failure went on to result in a larger and larger bonus. So they celebrated failure because it meant that they went for huge wins. Moonshots, right? So I was waiting for the hook to come to help us regular folks get more comfortable with the idea of taking more risks. But unfortunately, it never came. Instead, Guy moved on to the next guest after a word from the sponsors. So essentially, what Dr. Teller and Guy are saying is this. If you work at a big company with unlimited resources, Google has over $90 billion in cash, you should always dream big. You have zero downside, because not only are you working in a department that has greenlighted the creation of audacious new things, even if you fail, it's not even your own money you're wasting, right? And even if you fail, it's not even Sergey's billions of dollars you're wasting, because it's the corporation's money. So I thought, you know what? That really was a useless podcast. So I began to think about various scenarios where taking big risks should be more of a given for the rest of us. So let's look at four scenarios. Number one, when you're born into a rich family, look, Bill Gates III is, I think, still the richest man on earth. He was born into a very wealthy family. William Gates Sr. and Mary Maxwell. His dad was a prominent lawyer. Mary served on the board of directors for First Interstate Bank System and the United Way. And you don't get to serve on the board of directors if you ain't rich. The maternal grandfather was J.W. Maxwell, a national bank president. So think about it this way. Worst case scenario, if you drop out of school and went to Harvard, you just kind of go back to Harvard. If you drop out of school and start a company, worst case, you go back to your family's beach vacation house. I mean, who cares? Who cares? You can go for moonshots all day long. Your safety net is massive. So that's one, if you're born in a rich family. Two, if you're not spending your own money, right? So the government is great at spending other people's money. And that's why they always mismanage their budget. They're always promising more, spending other people's money, because it's not their own. Why do you think there are people out there who vote on politicians who are willing to raise taxes on other people? It's because they probably don't have to pay more taxes themselves. So when you have the ability to risk other people's money for your own dreams, you should go for it. So one of the key examples is real estate. You can borrow 80 to sometimes 100% of a property's value
and just pay a tiny interest rate because interest rates are so low. And if the market goes up, you get all the spoils. And if the market tanks, in I think 12 non-recourse states, you can just hand over the keys and just walk away. And so that's what a lot of people did in the financial crisis, screwing the rest of us, right? Doing the right thing is not great sometimes. You can even be like this one guy who was a CFP. He welched on his mortgage, and now he works for the New York Times and tells people how to manage their finances. Pretty amazing. Another good example of risking other people's money is if you raise money for a startup. There's so many examples of founders who just burn their investors' money like there's no tomorrow. They have a great time. You know, some guys, this company called Secret, they sold millions of dollars worth of stock, $3 million, I think, each, two founders. One guy bought a Ferrari, and then they shut down the company like 6 to 12 months later. I mean, that is pretty ballsy, but pretty brilliant if you can get away with it. So that's what happens all the time. And the funny thing is, these investors are actually investing other people's money. Like the VC guys, they don't have any skin in the game. They're investing their limited partners' money, and then they get their spoil. So it's like, it's a great system if you can get into it. And, you know, the final scenario is if you're at a casino, let's say you bet it on black 10 times and it comes up black all 10 times, you're not going to feel too risk averse. You just, hey, you got the house's money, you might as well go for it. Okay, so three, when life has already passed you by. It sounds kind of sad. But the thing is, you know, if you already had your chance to climb up the corporate ladder, you've started a business, you've had some failures, you had some wins, nobody's really going to look down on you or blame you for having tried something new and failed. In fact, they might actually look up to you for having tried something new and failed because you don't have to do anything. And then four, when you have a working spouse with no dependents. And I think no dependents is pretty key. You know, a working spouse makes everything easier. And I think the best combination is to have a working spouse and then one other person, the other spouse going for, you know, the big risk, the entrepreneurial endeavor, something wacky and crazy. Because if you have one spouse with health care, stable benefits, you know that worst case scenario, things will be probably okay. And so that's what I did in 2012. My wife is 3 years younger. I left at 34 years old and I told her, hey, look, let me go first. Let's see how it goes. You still want to work at your job? Okay, great. In a couple years, when you turn 34 as well, 34, 35, you two can leave if everything is okay with me. And that's what she did. So that was pretty good. So at the end of the day, I just wanted to tell everybody not to underestimate your abilities. I mean, think about this. Let's say you have unlimited resources, billions of dollars. You're highly educated. You know, you're Google X. What would you create? You know, would you create, would you cure cancer? Would you create a commercial flying car? Maybe an agricultural tool to 10x the output of wheat to help developing countries feed their people? Or maybe a device to help visually impaired people see 20/20 or better? You know, maybe you could do that, right? But guess what Google X did after the past 7 years of operation? They came up with a product called Google Glass. I mean, are you kidding me? Google Glass? There is no Google Glass around today because nobody would be caught dead wearing Google Glass and creep-shotting everybody everywhere they go, right? So think about it. You, normal citizen, normal average intelligence, didn't spend hundreds of millions of dollars and years of your life developing a product that nobody uses. So I think you are actually ahead of the game. So maybe doing what you've always been doing isn't so bad after all. Or maybe you don't need these type of, you know, hoity-toity credentials or any kind of permission or any kind of billions of dollars for that matter to try something new. So share your story, guys. Let me know. What are the scenarios where repeated failure is an option? And let me know, why aren't you willing to try? Take care.